Hey, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in every week. I really appreciate all of the feedback, the comments, the downloads, the input. It's very helpful and provide some nice continued motivation to keep driving forward with the podcast. I have really enjoyed being able to dive a little bit deeper into topics that I've discussed in the newsletter and other things that, you know, I think are helpful to just give a little bit more time and attention to. And so this week I want to talk specifically about the fear of failure and how that holds us back, how it manifests, strategies for overcoming that fear of failure. There are a lot of things that we can do and a lot of important things to understand when it comes to how a fear of failure holds us back from becoming our true and authentic selves. And so, you know, the first couple things I'll say is, one, understand that the fear of failure, more often than not, is not a fear of failing anything itself. What it tends to manifest as is a fear of judgment. So, you know, when you've hesitated to do something in the past because you've been afraid of not successfully accomplishing whatever you've set out to do, I want you to ask yourself whether you were actually afraid of failing that activity, or if you were more likely afraid of the perception of that failure by other people, be it your parents, your friends, strangers that you don't know. Typically, that is more likely the fear that we're dealing with when it comes to trying new things or taking chances, right? Human beings are social creatures. We depend on our social nature, on our communities, on our, you know, families, friends, whatever, on those organizations to provide structure and meaning to our lives. And so when it comes to putting ourselves out there, trying something new, trying something that, you know, we don't necessarily have guaranteed success in, a lot of times we are afraid of the perception of the group if we don't make it or if we don't achieve that thing. And so, you know, walking the hard path, as I call it, is challenging, not because of the path itself or because of the likelihood of failing or falling short or stumbling. It's challenging because of the perception of that failure in the eyes of our community. And so the first step into overcoming a fear of failure and trying more things, taking more swings, is to understand that you're likely afraid of the perception, not of the reality. And I think that's true of a lot of things for us, is perception dictates reality in almost every scenario and every environment. It's almost always that we're not afraid of the reality of a situation, or we're not worried about the reality or the truth. What we're worried about is the perception, how that thing is perceived, how that truth is perceived. And so, you know, part of this is rewiring our psychology around this, which is incredibly difficult to do. But what I find, like anything, is the more reps that you do, the easier it becomes. And so what I want to do is provide a framework for how to overcome that fear of failure that's holding you back, and how to start small when you're doing this, because it's impossible to go from 0 to 60 and to just overnight become somebody who doesn't have to deal with these fears or these feelings. What's also important to understand is some of the most successful people still face this fear regularly, right? It doesn't go away. A lot of us deal with imposter syndrome or feeling like we're an imposter in our role, like we're just making it up as we go along and we're going to be found out. And I think what is empowering to understand is that some of the most successful people deal with imposter syndrome and fear of failure constantly. What they have done, however, that makes them different is they have trained themselves to disregard it or push forward regardless. And that in and of itself is an acquired skill that can be trained, that can be practiced. So a couple things can help with this. One, doing hard things more often. I talk about this a lot, and you know, in danger of sounding like a broken record, the more hard shit that you do, the better you become at doing hard shit. So if you push yourself through difficult workouts, if you, you know, take cold showers, and the cold, you know, the cold shower or cold plunge stuff, there are some studies that show some potential benefits to cold exposure, you know, from a physiological standpoint, but I'm more just strictly talking about the fact that if you can turn the shower water cold and you can tolerate it for some period of time, whether it's a minute, 5 minutes, whatever, that will make you more resilient in dealing with things that pop up in the day-to-day. So it's not so much what the cold exposure does for your body, it's what it does for your mind that is more important, and that's what I'm concerned with. Same thing with a hard workout, right? You know, a perfect workout plan, you can't push yourself to the limit every day. You're not going to be able to go hard every day. But the ability to show up regardless, the ability to take on challenges willingly, the ability to do workouts that scare you, all of these things make you mentally more resilient, which allows you to then deal with intimidating or scary situations more regularly and with more capability. So do hard things regularly. Sign up for things that scare you. You know, if you're afraid of public speaking, take an improv class or take a speaking class or you know, sign up to give a talk at something. The goal is you want to put yourself in uncomfortable situations where the stakes are low so that when the stakes are high or when it actually matters, you have built up a tolerance for that discomfort and you can navigate that situation with more grace. So that would be my first ultimate piece of advice, is to start doing hard things. Honestly, turning the shower water cold for 10 seconds at the end of your shower, 15 seconds at the end of your shower, at the end of the day, that's a very easy thing to do. But don't underestimate the momentum that that builds towards being a stronger human. And, getting up on your first alarm instead of hitting snooze, that's a very easy way to win first thing in the morning as soon as you wake up and not let the day get away from you. So those little things do add up and do make a difference. And so that's something that I think is important to emphasize or highlight when it comes to talking about overcoming a fear of failure. So from there, what we need to do is, if you set goals effectively or you break things down effectively, that can also help us when it comes to fearful situations. So let's take a step back and understand that this fear of failure tends to rear its ugly head in high pressure situations or situations where the stakes are high, where the outcome can be very positive or very negative for us. So for example, let's say you have the opportunity to give we go back to the public speaking situation. If you're giving a big keynote presentation at a large conference, the stakes there are very high. There's likely a lot of people in the crowd who could give you career advancement opportunities or who would be very valuable to have in your network. There are likely people in the crowd who could be potential future clients for you, for your business or service, whatever it is that you offer. But the stakes are also high in the other direction, where if you're giving a keynote talk at a conference and you bomb that talk, that will be remembered, that will be talked about, because as human beings, we tend to remember the negative more than the positive. So that would be a very high pressure or high cost situation where if things go south, then there are truly negative consequences. You don't want to set your goals there and then not break those down or not proceed to break those goals down into smaller steps. If you set a goal for yourself to give a big keynote talk and you're afraid of public speaking, you're setting yourself up for failure because there are no intermediate steps. What you want to be able to do is take whatever thing you're afraid of, whatever the big ticket item is, the high pressure situation is, and break it down. So if you want to ultimately give this keynote talk, or if you've been booked for a keynote talk and you're terrified of the opportunity, that's where signing up for those improv classes or taking a public speaking class or giving smaller talks can be helpful. This can even be something simple where you film yourself giving a talk and review it, because watching yourself on film is incredibly uncomfortable and can have much of the same benefits as giving small talks in other places. But point being, you want to take the big situation that you're afraid of and you want to give yourself more reps along the way to get comfortable and used to that environment so that when you get there, it's no longer this huge looming pressure situation. It's something that is a little bit closer to something you've already conquered or are already used to. So the first step, once you've made yourself more resilient as a human being, the first step to overcoming a fear of failure is to break that big thing down into smaller pieces, much like we would any other goal, any other habit, and give yourself reps along the way. You want to get your body used to the challenge of the situation that you ultimately have to face. This is exactly how fitness and exercise works. You don't go from being weak to being strong overnight. What you do is you accumulate work over the days, weeks, months, years that ultimately makes you stronger. So your training age is something that I talk about with clients in the gym a lot, where if you have a young training age, meaning you haven't spent a lot of time exercising, you can't expect the same results or the same movement quality or same weights or same progress as somebody who has a high training age, who has a lot of experience and a lot of time in the gym. Our bodies take time to adapt. So this is the same thing with a situation that is causing you fear or discomfort. You need to increase your training age in that activity. You need to increase your exposure to that activity so that when the time comes, you have experienced a part of it. So breaking things down into a smaller piece or smaller steps can be incredibly, incredibly helpful. The other thing that we need to do is just reframe what failure is. I think the big problem with a lot of people is that they view failure as an end, and those who are successful or ultimately successful view failure as a beginning or as an intermediate step, right? So let's talk about the difference between those two. If I view failure as the end, meaning I've lost this opportunity, it's the end of the road, I didn't live up to expectations or I didn't do what I needed to do, then failure ends your sentence. It's the period on that sentence. If you can shift your mind to view failure as a step along the way or as the beginning of a new opportunity, then it becomes a little bit more empowering. So, okay, I failed doing it this way. I now know one way not to do it. Thomas Edison famously said when creating the light bulb that, you know, he didn't fail 10,000 times. He just simply found 10,000 ways that don't work. So viewing failures as steps to essentially calibrate yourself or ultimately help you arrive at the destination that you want to get to is a way to empower yourself to deal with small hiccups, speed bumps, small failures on the way to eventual success. And that is a simple reframe that anyone is capable of doing. Like anything, it takes practice and it takes reflection, and you have to, you know, try to find the, you know, there's the phrase of trying to find the silver lining in any bad situation. I don't believe in ignorant optimism, meaning, you know, I am by nature an optimist, but I consider myself a rational optimist, much like the book by Matt Ridley, where he talks about the reasons that we should be optimistic, using statistics, numbers, data to show that our quality of life now is better than any other time in history. And so there are concrete reasons to be optimistic. I believe that that's an important quality to have, where you're viewing failure as a good thing, not just because we're trying to make everything sunshine and rainbows, but because we understand that every hiccup along the way gets me ultimately closer to doing things the right way. And so, like Thomas Edison with the light bulb, if you can remind yourself that those failures are simply nudging you in the right direction, it's a great way to reframe how we think about failure. And if you're ultimately able to reframe failure in your mind in that way, then what you come to realize is that taking more swings and taking more chances and failing more frequently is actually the fastest way to experience success. Success comes from repeatedly failing and eventually stumbling upon the correct way to do the thing that you're trying to do. Every failure gives you immense insight and information that you can then use to move forward and approach that same situation a better way. The key is you have to look for that information. If you sulk, if you just sit there disappointed, if you don't try to find the lesson in that failure, then you're going to be stuck spinning your wheels in the same space. And I'm sure we all know people like that who are habitually negative, who harp on bad situations, who, you know, oh, woe is me, I can never do anything right, you know, those type of people. The first thing I would say is run the other direction as fast as you can, because they provide nothing beneficial to your life and sap your energy. But in addition to that, those people are never taking the time to pull the lesson from their failure. And I would encourage them that to do so, because if they were to just simply take some time to reflect and think about the situation, there is always a lesson to be learned. Even if that lesson is simply, well, I won't do it that way again, right? Sometimes the lesson is hard to see, but you now have a definitive way or a definitive reason why a certain path will not work. So failures are our greatest teachers, if we are humble enough to learn their lesson. And so reflection here becomes incredibly important. I think a good rule of thumb or a good strategy, because I like to give actionable strategies. We can obviously talk in generalities all day, but always do a debrief when you have completed a task and things have either not gone according to plan, or even if they did go according to plan, it's always important to debrief after whatever the action or activity was. So in the SEAL teams, they always do a mission debrief where they talk about what went wrong, what went right, key moments, decisions that could have been made differently. The debrief is just as important as mission planning because it gives you insight for the next mission. And so this is one of those situations where doing your personal debrief after things go wrong can be incredibly beneficial. And like anything, I don't think this needs to be something that takes a tremendous amount of time. I actually think it's more effective if it's more concise of a plan, because it's something that you can do more often. What you don't want to do is create a system that requires you to really get yourself going to do. So a quick debrief, 5 minutes, be like, all right, well, that went wrong. Things hit the fan. How do I avoid that the next time around? And then what you can do is you can do a quick debrief. You can, say to yourself, all right, what went right? What went wrong? How do we learn from this for the next time? And then that gives you information that you can take forward when you're in a similar situation. One other thing to understand about failure is that physiologically, our body perceives failure and excitement the same way. Meaning, when you are either eager with anticipation or when you are afraid, the physiological response is identical. So increased heart rate, potentially some, sweaty palms, whatever, increased breathing. All of those things happen in both environments. And so a very quick mental reframe that you can do the next time that you're afraid of a situation is you can just simply reframe it as I am excited for this opportunity versus I am afraid of what's coming. Language is incredibly empowering, and the voice inside your head, your inner voice, dictates in large part how you respond and react to situations. And so it can be very important to understand the slight difference in language and how that will affect the way that you approach or handle a situation. So that simple reframe of I'm excited for this opportunity versus I'm afraid of what's coming completely changes how you respond, how you react, how you approach that situation. Little reframes like that or calibrating your inner critic or your inner voice, they seem silly and they seem small, but they are incredibly helpful. And doing that activity often will empower you in those situations where you would otherwise be nervous, right? So we're sitting here and we're talking about, okay, we've made ourselves more resilient. We have started to intentionally do hard things. We have broken down the elephant, if you will, into smaller pieces. And we're sitting here and trying to chip away at reps to make us better prepared for that situation that will ultimately be coming. Taking more chances is ultimately beneficial, as we've seen, right? Taking more swings, more at-bats give you a greater opportunity to ultimately succeed. And so now that we have these strategies and we've reframed what failure is, right, you start to go down this road of intentionally seeking out things that are hard, that are challenging. There are two final things that I'll say about this that I have found for myself personally and for other people I've worked with to be incredibly beneficial. So one is to embrace the beginner's mindset. Failure and the knowledge that we can gain from failure goes hand in hand with being humble in these situations and understanding that there is so much we don't know. And so a beginner with any activity tends to act like a sponge. They absorb information, they absorb knowledge, they watch, they practice. They get a lot of repetition in, knowing that they won't be good at that thing, but doing it anyways because they want to get better. At some point on the curve of mastery, we gain enough proficiency to be dangerous. And what that means is we stop viewing ourselves as a beginner and we start thinking that we know things that maybe we don't quite know or maybe don't quite understand. We're good enough that to the casual observer, to somebody who doesn't do that activity, we're pretty proficient. But we haven't gained enough mastery to no longer need help. So part of learning from failure also comes with maintaining that beginner's mindset as much as you can in life, always asking questions, always trying to absorb information, always understanding that your abilities can be further improved and are certainly nowhere near where they need to be in order for you to attain mastery. And so keeping that beginner's mindset is difficult, but very necessary, and it will keep your mind open to learning the lessons that failures along the way will give you. So that beginner's mindset makes it easier for us to set our ego aside and to learn lessons that we are being taught. We, like I said, we know those people who have all the answers or know all the things. You know, a lot of the people who argue with each other on the internet fall into this bucket where everybody knows just enough to be dangerous, but there's so much that they don't know, so much that they don't understand, and so much nuance that they don't have. And it's actually interesting what we're starting to see. Stephen Kotler was publishing some of this research that he's including in his new book that's coming out. But what we're starting to see is as we age, the brain actually gets better at nuance. It gets better at seeing both sides. It gets better at perspective, which actually makes it better in situations like this where we're trying to learn a skill. So there's the phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but that's really only partially true because as we age, our brain gets better at a lot of the things required for us to learn from our failures and continue to progress. So, you know, don't think that this is something that A, you'll get better at overnight, but also B, that doesn't have continued value as you get older. And in the other, you know, story or moral here is that it's never too late to start. So there, you know, there's no time like now to make these changes. You know, there's the phrase, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. And I think that is an incredibly powerful and important perspective to have with any of this self-development stuff where it's going to be hard and it might not go very well initially, but that's okay. And that leads me into my final point where this is difficult and challenging stuff. It goes against our nature because if we go from a purely evolutionary standpoint, failure meant that we might be eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or a mammoth or whatever. And so biologically, we are hardwired to fear failure. And we're also biologically wired to fear ostracization from the group, meaning we are hardwired to be afraid of the perception of our failures by those around us. So keep in mind that this is something that is innate to our biology. And so overcoming that is difficult. So the most important lesson in all of this is have compassion with yourself as you go through this journey, because the light at the end of the tunnel is worth it, and what's on the other side is powerful and will help propel you towards success in whatever avenue that is for you. But along the way, there are going to be many bumps in the road, and it's kind of an encapsulation for the entire thing, right? We're trying to get better at overcoming failure and learning from failure, and the only way to do that is to fail a lot. And so be compassionate with yourself, be kind to yourself. You know, starting this journey already means that you're taking very critical first steps, but there will be many stumbles along that path, and that's okay. The only way to, you know, get to the finish line and learn the lesson is to get a few bumps and bruises along the way. So keep that in the back of your mind as you begin this journey of self-improvement. So fear of failure is something that we are hardwired to experience, and just understand that these strategies that I presented to you today, you know, doing things to make yourself more resilient and mentally strong, breaking things down into smaller pieces, trying to reflect and do that mission debrief after small failures so you can take more chances, take more swings, and learn more lessons. And then, you know, understanding the biological implications of all of this, practicing a little bit of self-compassion along the way. These are all things that will hopefully help you learn more and gain more insight from things that can otherwise be difficult to deal with and difficult to overcome. So as always, thanks for tuning in. I'm always available to speak more on these topics or answer questions. You can find me on Twitter, TrainedRight, Instagram, TrainedRight, or email me, Justin@TrainedRight.com. But until next week, I hope you have a wonderful weekend.